Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, Van Dyke!
Hey, Van
Dyke! We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on Thursday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Well, the day after, right? The drama, the tense, the waiting. On the TV now, Bill Belichick looks thrilled to have a camera in his face and a microphone around the second button, top button on his collared shirt. And Billy B's droning on. It's all right. But yeah, it is Super Bowl week. I'm kind of taking a temperature on that, and most folks want New England to lose. But a lot of you don't care about Atlanta either. But you'll still watch. So we'll get into the Super Bowl, and we'll get back to Huskers in the Super Bowl in 1 hour. A man who played and played well and won two rings with Bill Belichick, with Tom Brady. Russ Hochstein will join us on Hail Varsity Radio. Russ going to be with us in 1 hour. Grant Wistrom, Husker All-Century, Blackshirt, Hall of Famer, I mean, all that good stuff. Grant's going to talk Super Bowl and some Nebraska football with us in hour two. A recruiting profile on Brendan Hymus, one of those talented offensive linemen of 2017 out of Lake Travis, Texas. That'll happen at 5:40. And in about 15 minutes, we'll spend some time on Nebraska basketball. Jacob Padilla. Jacob is going to be covering the game tonight for Hail Varsity, of course. Nebraska, Michigan State. TJ Henning is going to clone himself so he can get down to maybe a watering hole in the rail yard and then get over to PBA. Do I paint a bad picture of you?
No.
Like you find a bar and you might go socialize a bit before going to the game. I kind of picture you. You're the guy at the bar, chilling out a bit, quiet, watching sports with family or friends. You're the guy that'll never throw a chair into a window. I like it.
Yeah, I'm a pretty calm guy.
You are.
I actually prefer to watch most of my sporting events at the my casa. You know, everything.
Yeah, you
pretty
don't leave.
You're pretty nice.
You're either here or you're there.
Yeah, but no, I'm going to be, boy, I hope I'm only like 8 minutes into the game late tonight. So,
well, I've offered to go on autopilot.
Well, there's only so many people who can run this machinery, man, so it's all right.
You would come in tomorrow and there'd be a hammer through the screen. Once you leave it, I would absolutely go into DEFCON mode. So, yeah, we were able to get Hail Varsity's folks were just
ESPN,
1480. See, it's got gremlins again. That's fine. All right. Carson and Mama Bear going to the Michigan State game tonight.
Yep.
We were able to get tickets. God bless you, Aaron Babcock and Jen Babcock. And then once I got them, Carson's like, yeah, I want Mom to go. Yeah, I want Mom to go with me. It's an early kickoff or tip off. So I want Mom to go. So I'm sad.
Does Carson know this Michigan State team well?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He is.
Because there's not really too many household names besides the stud freshman and the Tum-Tum Nair.
Yeah, he's not on Tum-Tum's wagon this year, but he loves him some miles. So.
All right.
Yeah, he's going to be the guy in the green shirt cheering against Nebraska tonight. But, again, he's been threatened with grounding and destruction of his iPod. So that's his choice.
That is.
We'll get into Nebraska basketball. TJ and I'll have our thoughts on it tonight. Brandon Vogel tomorrow, but Jacob Padilla will be with us to talk Nebraska and Sparty. Okay, let's get into Nebraska football and 24 hours removed from signing day, or lack of a better term, the day after, the morning after. As a Nebraska fan, how you feeling about what happened yesterday? Yesterday, we were slammed. Coach Riley, a number of the recruits or their coaches. So it was bring you the info, bring you the people day yesterday, and we're thankful to be able to do that. Now you have stepped away, you've looked at the class, and you have a reaction. What do you think? What's the grade that you give the Honda of Lincoln Fan Poll has this. What grade do you give the Huskers for their 2017 recruiting class? A through F. Can log on HaleVarsity.com and vote. Go vote. And I look at the class, two first impressions. You can't have two first impressions. Two quick impressions. One, I love that defensive line. I love what John Perella did. The story of signing day was John Perella. How good he was, how accurate he was, how well he evaluated, and how quick he was to offer these kids, despite a year ago this week getting hired by Nebraska. He's for real. And I didn't have any doubt he would be. Easy to say now, but I said it a year ago. He'll get it. He does get it. He's credible. And he'll teach. And that's how you're going to do things the right way to win moving forward if you're Nebraska. What are you going to do? You're going to control the line of scrimmage. You're going to do it on the offensive side of the ball, running the ball, or pass protecting. Defensively, you're going to stop the run in the Big Ten against Wisconsin, against Iowa, and you're going to beat the crap out of their quarterback. You're going to get after the passer. You have a great chance to do so now at the 3-4. Not that you couldn't in the 4-3, but you got some athletes that can get there off the edge. You can do a lot of stuff, and you've got a new look, new vibe defensively. That's how you're going to win. That's how you're going to get better in the West. That's how you're going to get better against the East. That's how you're going to get better moving forward. And back to the grade question, what grade do you give this class? My knee jerk was B, but I think that's too low. I think that's too low. This isn't grading on a curve. This isn't 40 other kids in the class flunked, so we're a 60 means you get a B+. I honestly think they got a B. I'm giving out a B+. First reaction's B. But after I step back, B+. Why do I say B+? Well, I've already raved about the defensive line, okay? The defensive line is critical. It is critical, and they had to have it. Why? Because you sure as hell didn't recruit any defensive linemen last year, first of all. Second of all, you need guys that fit and you can project and that want to be here. All of those things into one, and Perella found him and got him. Thomas out of Oklahoma, very good. Watts out of Plano, very good. Top 21 defensive tackle in the country, Damian Daniels. And Perella connected with them. And he'll coach them. And they'll be able to stop the run and get after the quarterback on top of what you've got now. Okay? And then you held on to Guy Thomas. And if you heard Riley talk about it yesterday, Perella was the one guy in the state that wasn't freaking out the kid was going to leave. We didn't know. Well, Perella felt good. You know why? You talk to Coach McBride, you listen to people, you listen to coaches, you listen to recruits. Perella's about loyalty. Perella's about honesty. And both came across in flourishing colors to hang on to this class on the defensive line or get this defensive line class in. Coach Riley, yesterday, about this class, what grade say you? What grade do you give the Nebraska class in 2017, 20 new kids headed to Lincoln or in Lincoln?
We kind of hit our marks where we wanted to fill in guys, offensive line spots available, wide receivers, not quite, but pretty close, and probably okay because, you know, I don't know that you want more than 3-4 guys in a class at one spot anyway, so I think this will be all right, and we'll save that for the recruitment for next year.
See, I don't know how else you're supposed to spin it. It's not like you were awful at receiver. You did great. You got Keyshawn Johnson Jr. You got McQuitty, who shouldn't be forgotten about. He's nice. He's really nice. Mm-hmm. And then Lindsey's awesome. Okay, you did really, really, really well. But this buildup was to land Calvin or Lewis or Johnson or Thompson. You wanted a fourth. It's no secret you wanted a fourth. You didn't get a fourth. And I think privately, Riley's okay but he's being honest with himself that this is a fine. This is what we got. Not good enough. It's not good enough. And he said as much when it came to rank or to the national rankings that he wants to be higher next year and he wants more cornerbacks next year. I think he's pissed about they missed out on a receiver. I think he's pissed they missed on that second defensive back. He wasn't feeling good. It was a long press conference, and they lost out at 3 o'clock, and he went on the air at 4. So instead of high-fiving for this beer, look, I got half a beer left.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, yeah, it's almost gone. And it's the last one.
I mean, you're always going to have coulda, woulda, shouldas, but I mean, I'm for the most part, I'm seeing this class ranked as 19th or 20th. I don't think top 20.
What's your grade?
It's B or B plus, just like yourself.
Okay.
I mean, I think they filled a bunch of needs, but there weren't too many top 20 classes with Bo Pelini.
And see this. It's not that they just got their needs. I don't feel like they settled. I don't think they settled at all with this defensive line class. They went out and got who they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they went out and got who they wanted at safety or corner. Sorry, he's big enough to do both. In Blades.
Yeah.
I think Kavanaugh went out, if you're real honest about it, and got half of what he wanted with Sichterman and Hymus.
And we think he did a lot of his damage last year in that previous O-line.
Well,
he was redshirting.
He kept it. And here's the thing to watch, too. And Riley said it, and I think they're going to, again, it's one of Coach Riley's favorite words, and it's good to have it in life, is efficiency. I think he's taken a hard look at what are they? Are you wasting time? It's don't shy away from big fish. Don't shy away from big game hunting. Headed out west to Ole's. Look at that giant polar bear. Somehow it's in western Nebraska Panhandle. Look, someone went big game hunting. Don't shy away from it, but know when to eject. How much extra time did you waste on Foster Sorrell? Only to be kind of saved, in my honest opinion, that Walker came to Lincoln. I mean, he's...
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you got an amazing player in the state in Chris Walker because you're Nebraska and he loves Nebraska.
Riley did joke about had he known Foster Sorrell's dream college was
Stanford. Well, we knew it was. We knew it was.
The chance to get the guy of that caliber.
You read ESPN.com a week before the All-American game. That letter was mentioned.
So do you never attempt for those guys then?
No, you do, but you...
Because, I mean, it goes back to, remember we were talking about that Northwestern program software they're inventing over there?
No, you
that might say don't go after him.
Well, here's a question, okay? This is a jerk comment. How many big fish have they been on in their life?
Talking this staff, at Oregon State?
I'm talking this staff.
Not many.
Okay? No. They've developed and found diamonds in the rough, and then they've also hit some home runs with under-the-radar dudes.
Yeah.
Okay? That's just, God love them. That's what they are. Not saying they can't, but know when to eject.
Mm-hmm.
Do you spend time on Joseph Lewis? Hey, you're in the discussion. PR-wise, Nebraska's got... It's between Nebraska and USC for Joseph Lewis. It's between Nebraska and Washington State for Jameer Calvin. It's between Nebraska and Oregon for D'Amadori Lenore. It's between Nebraska and UCLA and Utah for Brian Thompson. I mean, you want a hearts and minds PR battle yesterday with a Damian Daniels announcement live, and he's putting the Husker hat on. Keyshawn's wearing his Nebraska gear. Les is wearing his Nebraska gear and his Nebraska tie. And you also lost out on the number one player in the country, so you're mentioned with it. Awesome. Great. You're mentioned with the number one player in the country. Fine. You can't buy that. But Greg Johnson, you knew that was a package deal. You've got to know when to hit eject. I think Riley felt like maybe they spent time going after guys that they should have known sooner than later to get off of and go on to another choice. And maybe they're going to start doing that next year because you can find guys closer to home and either there's equal talent level They're just in a different region, so there's not as much hype. Or we can develop this talent level. Because he said 500-mile radius. He said St. Louis, and he said Kansas City. So I think it's all good. I think if you shift your priority to really finding guys that you can get to Lincoln because it's closer to home and still staying strong in Texas and still staying strong at Calabasas, that's going to be your perfect storm right there. Don't give up and move out of California because you kicked butt in California, honestly. I mean, you got a lot of awesome talent out of California. That shouldn't be forgotten. But when it comes to some of your meat and potatoes, your line, maybe you stay closer to home to do it. That's all I'm saying. I mean, the other part of this, too, is Nebraska lost to USC, to L.A. They lost to USC for L.A. kids. No harm, no foul. Oregon's in a crazy transition, and you just beat Oregon this year on national TV. And you went 0-3 against Oregon. You went 0-1 against Washington State. You went 0-1 against TCU. You went 0-1 against Utah. You're better than that. And I think that's what Riley's a little frustrated with. Overall, though, a B-plus grade on the class.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
1 hour. All-time Husker great, Super Bowl champ, Grant Wistrom will join us. Russ Hochstein, also part of those Patriot teams that won rings. Which ones, you may ask? Well, team that went back-to-back against Carolina and Philly. Welcome in. Tremendous basketball writer. Did a great job covering signing day for HailVarsity.com and magazine. He'll have some great features in the recruiting issue of Hail Varsity Magazine. Jacob Padilla with us. He's on his way to PBA to get you your Nebraska basketball coverage of Sparty and the Fighting Coach Miles is. Jacob, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Coming down a little bit early here to talk to Ty Lue.
See, now I'm jealous. I've been trying to talk to Ty Lue for 2 months. But, yeah, you'll get to talk to Ty Lue. And when you do, hand him the phone with the number still on it, okay? I'm kidding. No, he's coming to town. I remember watching him when I was in college, and he was special. Are you pretty excited to get a chance to ask him a few questions tonight?
Yeah, it's a pretty cool experience overall. He's a little bit before my time just in terms of watching. Unlike some of these kids that are on the team now, like, I have seen a little bit of him, and I am aware that he's more than just the Cleveland Cavaliers head coach. But, it'll be an interesting experience overall just to hear him talk and how he feels about Nebraska, those kind of things.
He is a kid that came from Mexico, Missouri, and I think his cousin, I think they were cousins, Cookie Belcher, at least he's from the same area. Mm-hmm. But both those guys were a ton of fun to watch, and you know, some of the last great teams Danny Nee had, so that was kind of my wheelhouse. And with Nebraska tonight, Jacob, how are you feeling about this matchup? The way I kind of feel is, look, you completely over-delivered against Purdue, and God love you for doing it. Sparty's beyond in dangerous position right now. They've been reeling a bit. They just beat Michigan, so they're similar to Nebraska with kind of stopping a losing streak. They're so young, and they're so turnover-prone. Is this a game you think Nebraska gets, or do you think Michigan State's just too talented?
I think Michigan State is even more of a wild card than Nebraska is, just by the fact that four of their top five scorers, I believe, are all freshmen.
Yes.
You've got Aaron Harris, the transfer there as a senior, but outside of him, you don't have a lot of experience on that team. You've got some talented players, but again, I mean, you never know what you're going to get out of freshmen. And so it'll be fun to watch. They have some talented players, and the one thing that worries me is I don't think Nebraska has a matchup for Miles Bridges. And he's a 6'7 freak athlete, freshman phenom, leading them in scoring. He's had some huge games. He's shooting 40% from three now, too. Nebraska doesn't really have that kind of 3-4 lockdown defender. Michael Jacobson's more of a true post. Dry Horn and Jack McVay aren't necessarily great defenders. I think Isaiah Roby will get there eventually, but he's a little banged up right now, and he's also a true freshman, still trying to learn things. So I think that's going to be the key to watch, is how does Nebraska handle Bridges?
Well, a guy who could help with that would be Ed Morrow. What's the latest on his health status?
He's getting close to return. Not sure if we're going to see him tonight. Tim Miles was to be tight-lipped about it when we talked to him at his press conference on Tuesday. If he's not back for this game, I'd anticipate we'll probably see him for the next one.
Jacob Padilla with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, previewing Nebraska, Michigan State. You mentioned Bridges, 20-10, and that range he is showing. And Izzo's been pretty frank with the fan base there in Spartan Land about, look, I know what they're going through. They're young. They're building. And kind of just back off and let us get better. I mean, I'm paraphrasing his frustration during the losing streak. Conversely, with Coach Miles in Nebraska, the effort and win with Purdue, momentum-wise, despite the injuries, despite the question marks, do you think Nebraska's in a pretty good spot? Do you think they realize that they got an opportunity tonight?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at this point, the Big Ten, every game's an opportunity, whether that's to the good or to the bad. I mean, you have a chance to win every game in this league for the most part this season, because there are no great teams. And for the most part, even the terrible teams, we saw what happened against Rutgers for Nebraska. So I think that's kind of Miles' message, I'm guessing, them, is like, guys, hey, every time we go out there, we got a chance to win a game. And regardless of what Nebraska's record is, they've still got an opportunity here to make some noise in the last few games here in the Big Ten.
Hey, Tim mentioned the other day in his press conference that he's going to look to get Ty Webster some more rest. I mean, he's just looking gassed at the end of the games. Who do you think would pick up some of those minutes, or do you think they would maybe play Glenn and Ty less together?
Yeah, Ty had been playing upwards of 38 minutes mm-hmm. in conference. I mean, I'm not surprised at all that he's starting to run out of gas a little bit. That's just tough for anybody. The problem is they don't have any depth back there in the backcourt. You've already got Ty and Glenn playing over 30 minutes a game, and Evan Taylor playing a lot too. So the only other real option they have is to go with a little bit bigger lineups and play more of Roby or Horn or McVay, some of those guys out on the wing. And I think that's probably what they're going to do, to try to steal a few minutes for Ty, maybe put Horn out there with Jacobson and Chimanga, or put Roby and Horn together at the forward spots and just kind of have those guys as interchangeable pieces. And then, like you said, you've got to stagger. Glenn or Ty have to be on their court at all times.
What's up with Roby? You mentioned that he's a little banged up.
I think he's just kind of a freshman. Obviously, he got banged up before he even got to Nebraska.
Right.
I don't think it's anything too serious. Nothing that'll prevent him from playing overall. But at this point, I mean, he's a young kid just going through Big Ten for the first time. Might just be hitting a little bit of a freshman wall.
The old freshman wall's the assailant there. Jacob Padilla, a couple more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Jacob Padilla _ on Twitter with Hail Varsity. Jacob, going to shift to recruiting here in the HailVarsity.com fan poll. What grade do you give the Huskers 2017 recruiting class? TJ and I both kind of came up with B pluses. At first, my knee jerk was B. I've risen that grade to a B plus. What do you think? What's a grade you stick on this class?
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys. I think high B, maybe just on that fringe of the B plus. They've got some really nice players in here at multiple positions too. You got your quarterback. You got some talented receivers. You got some big time some couple of defenders in the secondary and at the linebacker level, at the defensive line. So you got a four stars at all three levels there. So I think the disappointment, obviously, is a little bit in the depth. It came up a little bit short of what they wanted to, missed out on some of their bigger targets. But at the same time, I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, the only way Nebraska is going to get past where they are now is to upgrade their recruiting. And you can't upgrade your recruiting if you're not trying. And they were in there the last couple for, again, the guys like Joseph Lewis and Diamondo Lenore and all these other guys. I think the more effort you put into those guys, the more success you'll have, and eventually you're going to get a couple of these guys. So I didn't mind their gamble of where they went after, they saved these spots for these couple other guys instead of just going and finding someone to fill the hole.
Did you sense any frustration from Riley? I think he's a big efficiency guy, and I think he was frustrated at the manpower put in and not getting more of a result than and I don't take this the wrong way, than just Blades with the other big game. I thought he was frustrated that they didn't do better.
I didn't necessarily get that same feeling. I think, like Riley himself said, like, they were right there for a couple guys. He liked kind of the way they handled things. He thought they had a real shot at some of these guys. I think he was a little frustrated with the Jameer Calvin situation more than anything else. It was interesting. I tweeted out what Riley said during the press conference about how it was a bit over the top, and how he got three commitments from him and said that must be a record. And Jameer Calvin actually searched his own name and favorited my tweet, and so did Isaiah Hodgins. So that was kind of interesting. But
well, I search your tweets and favor them too. I mean,
well, you follow me though. That's a little bit different than searching, searching Chris Schmidt out there, just checking on whether or not I'm fashioning at all.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, to be 18 in a whiteout, I guess, right?
Yep.
Hey, you're going to be meeting with Tyler here shortly. Are you going to be afraid at all to ask any Cleveland Cavaliers questions, mostly concerning LeBron and this roster?
I imagine there might be one or two, but I think tonight they're going to try to keep it focused on Ty Lue and what he means to Nebraska and everything.
One would assume.
Well, I mean, it's Ty Lue in the ugly uniforms from the NIT, okay? That's the era we're focused on. Jacob Bedilla will have time with Ty Lue tonight. Be sure to check out HaleVarsity.com and add Jacob Bedilla _ on Twitter. He'll have Michigan State and Nebraska reaction during and following the game at PBA tonight. Jacob, thanks for a few minutes. Enjoy the game tonight, man.
Yep, thanks to you guys, too.
Awesome.
Thanks, Jacob.
Good stuff. So he's on his way to hang out with Ty Lue. I was going to send you, but you can't be two different places.
No, can't.
But
I'll meet him some other time.
No, well, Kranak, like,
he was guarding him in the rail yard.
Yeah, that was the first weekend of the Hail Varsity tailgate, and they had it was kind of a surprise show up and play ball storming by the Nebraska basketball team. So different spots in downtown Lincoln, they'd show up, and they had kind of a makeshift hoop that would show up with them, and they were playing ball in the rail yard, and T. Lue was there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at Crane, I don't know if it's still his...
I think it is.
His avatar, but Kranak's... T. Lue's chilling on a picnic table in the rail yard, and here's this Mr. Mark Kranak that rolls up and says, hey, can we get a picture? And then Kranak got into Bellevue West mode, intramural, Bellevue West intramural mode, trying to guard T. Lue. That was all right. We'll spend some time on Nebraska basketball. A couple of finishing thoughts on Nebraska recruiting. Thursday edition of Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HaleVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio. Russ Hochstein, Super Bowl champ times two with New England coming up in 20 minutes. Grand Wistrom less than 45 minutes away. Wilderness Ridge. Well, it's chilly outside, but it looks nice. Membership benefits, membership pricing. Find your way to Wilderness Ridge and get locked in now for when the sun is out and it's warming up and it's golf time. You can go see Chris Thompson, PGA professional, or Mike Shuart, director of instruction. And we invite you to go check out Wilderness Ridge and become a member today, wildernessridgegolf.com. Last thought on recruiting. B+, is kind of the unanimous grade we give Nebraska's class. Frustration-wise, Riley wants to win and wanted to win down to the wire with some of the kids he was going after, with Anya Mayobi, with Jameer Calvin, with Joseph Lewis, with Greg Johnson, with Lenore, with Thompson. Listen, that's a great list to be on. It's a better list to be on if you get some of those kids. But this is where Nebraska needs to do more on the field. Okay? They win on the field. They beat Oregon last year. Oregon had a down year. Oregon's 4-8. Oregon's in transition. So the time to go duck hunting, so to speak, was this year. Now, make a statement next year. Second game of the year, you're out there. Probably be a night game. Riley heading back to the West Coast, back to Oregon, back to the hell that was Autzen. Go get a win on the road. You're in the conversation now. Now be the answer in the conversation. And you've had an opportunity. Chance to go 2-0 against Oregon, and you beat UCLA in the bowl game. And you're recruiting against people you've recruited against for decades because your hotspot's California.
Yeah.
And you got Keyshawn, and you got Jebbia. And listen, the win yesterday, aside from Perella and Damian Daniels, is Blades, because he can come in and he's fast. He's Coach Darlington and on our web show on HaleVarsity.com was just very specific about the speed need in the secondary. And Blades is one of those guys. So you beat Florida for one of those guys. That can't be overlooked. That can't be forgotten. And it also can't be forgotten that you did get a quarterback. What'll be important here is that these D linemen stay healthy. They'll get coached up, I'm pretty sure. And then quarterback hits. So when it's Jebbia's time, he's either pushing POB to be the best he can be, or Jebbia can be dropping dimes. Can't miss. You'll keep recruiting quarterbacks, but don't get put back in three or four steps behind by not having a quarterback to either push, give competition, or deliver in big games. So that'll be the tale of 17 here in about 2 years. But overall, give me a B+, and you got 20 solid kids, and you held on. That was huge, specifically on the defensive line. Husker basketball, Michigan State and Nebraska. I have a weird feeling about tonight. Nebraska's won 3 in a row.
Yeah, do they make it 4?
My dear Lord.
That's kind of crazy.
I am not kidding. My wife and my son just got to hang out with Miles Bridges. I'm not kidding.
Oh, man. He's got to be in cloud 9 right now.
Miles, I know. He got to meet Mama Bunny and Junior. The look on Miles Bridges' face. I'm embarrassed by this. My kid's wearing Spartan green, and he snuck his way down to the bench. They got to trank him. Carry both of them out.
I mean, I think it's good you're letting him be a fan or whatever. You could have forced Husker fandom on him.
Now,
you could have made this not happen.
I know. Somewhere in South Lincoln, his Spartan hat that he begged me for on vacation in Colorado is being chewed up by a basset hound named Reggie. So he already lost like the most expensive hat I've ever bought him. He's in shorts. It's like 4 degrees outside. Because why the hell not make your kid wear pants? And he's wearing the stocking hat.
Now he's got a picture with Miles Bridges.
Sweet God. Okay.
He's going to be bragging about that to his classmates tomorrow.
Well, he was his best friend 3 years ago as Walt. I told you he's a front runner. Okay. Nebraska, Michigan State. Here's the number for me. See if you agree or disagree.
Okay.
15 turnovers for Michigan State. They're 1-5 when turning the ball 15 times or more. They are a train wreck of taking care of the basketball because they are so young.
Mm-hmm.
And Nebraska is good at forcing turnovers, and I think of what Ty can do. I think of how active Nebraska's hands have been, how they've been able to get in transition with some steals in their wins. You look at what they can do forcing turnovers and how prone Michigan State is to not taking care of the ball sometimes. I think 15 is the number. Nebraska can force 15 or more turnovers. They win this thing. I think Michigan State is gritty. I think they're really tough. But I think Nebraska will bring the energy again on the offensive glass. I think the home court is huge. I think Nebraska will feed off it. I think Nebraska fans are getting back on the Nebraska basketball bandwagon after the Purdue win. It's an earlier game, which means you can scream your head off a little bit longer.
Yeah, I hope the home crowd is better tonight, that's for sure.
And the other side of this thing, too, is Michigan State, just looking through some of the guard scoring and some of the shot charts, Michigan State really does not give a damn about stopping someone getting to the rim. Okay? Does that not scream Ty Webster? Ty was 5 of 15 last time out, did enough and good things for that win. But it wasn't vintage Ty's on fire, Ty's shooting a high percentage.
Yeah.
I think Ty can get to the rim tonight. Michigan State's going to try and stop that, obviously. But I think he'll be the difference in a win. That's not Captain Obvious. That's just what Michigan State can't do, stop guard penetration. That's what Ty Webster does better than anybody, is get to the rim, and either he finishes or he creates off of that with that little wraparound up and underpass to a big down low at the rim. Ty gets to the rim. Nebraska forces 15 or more turnovers. They get to 500 in Big Ten play.
It's interesting with this Michigan State squad. Miles Bridges, the only guy averaging over 30 minutes a game. Otherwise, the next closest guy is at 23. Seems like Izzo has had a hard time finding the right complement of guys he wants playing every game. And, you know, the record says it, 13-9 this early for Michigan State. I mean, their strength of schedule, I believe, is around near us. We're number one, but they've been top 10 all year. So they have a young team as well trying to figure things out. And both these teams desperately need a win tonight if they want to continue any hopes of playing in the postseason. So I think it's going to be a really good one. You got some hype with Bridges and Nick Ward. Nick Ward, the freshman, he's played really well. I saw him against Minnesota. They just went down to him post after post, and he was making phenomenal moves for a freshman. So I think he's a guy to keep an eye on tonight for Michigan State.
You're absolutely right. Jordy, how does he do tonight? Jacobson, how does he handle things? Does Easy Ed get rocking? We shall see. Well, wind down hour one. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Russ Hochstein coming up.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio at JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Well, I had to check in during the timeout with Mama. Carson was able to get on the court and get a picture with Miles because people in Nebraska are awesome and nice. Now I need to call Jack and have them escorted out because my wife, before she hung up, said, yeah, Miles is cute. Yeah. Miles is tall.
Some Nebraska ball news and notes here. Former walk-on Tanner Borchardt is back on the team from Gothenburg. Kind of liked him for a walk-on center, honestly. I thought maybe by his fourth or fifth year, he could maybe do something for 5 or 6 minutes a game. So he's back tonight. And this is just coming across Twitter. The university has officially banned the organized Husker power chant during the opponent's intros.
I just saw that, too.
That just means to do it louder tonight, right?
I think so.
I feel like they tried this a year or two ago, and they still have it. Why do that? It creates energy, atmosphere.
I'm going to go old school here for a second. And
sportsmanship?
No.
That's why we can't do this?
No, I'm talking just to keep the momentum, okay?
Okay.
when you, if you're on a run and there's a TO called to stop the momentum, what happens? Like that first big run, I'm about to lose my mind, plays.
DMX players in the system, yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And then guess what? The next time to either fire the crowd up or continue some momentum, it's dance team time or it's – and listen, I'm not orchestrating the entertainment, so glass house and rocks, I get. But back in the day, man, this is my junior high years, my high school years when we had season tickets. They would – and it was all the band. It was a pep band.
Now, the band's a buzzkill nowadays.
Now, but then it was incredible. They'd play "We're Gonna Beat the Hell Out of You." It was great. It was queued up. It was perfect. Yeah, you're laughing at me.
I find
like
that so hard to get riled up about.
No, but they, it would. The whole place would lose their mind. It was great. As soon as you know, Roy'd take his glasses off and you know, kick a chair when he was coaching Kansas. I mean, Danny'd be fired up. People would get crazy about that, and then the band would go nuts. And I know that sounds weak and lame right now, but that's all you had at the Devaney at the time. And it worked. The place was going pretty well. Now I get, you know, TV timeout, under 16 timeout. And, you know, for the love of God, Painter's got to take an early timeout because you're on a run.
Yeah.
Let's absolutely deep six this thing with nothing. Once in a while, it hits, okay? But for the most part, the fan base and PBA has to be encouraged to crank up and get loud
and
be a 12th man.
The Husker Power Chant, the last two home games, has not been all that great. But do you know what the red zone we used to cheer all the time instead of the Husker Power Chant was? Who cares? You suck.
Yeah, thank you for taking that from hockey 20 years ago.
Yeah, so does the university want us to yell that? Because I would much rather yell that, honestly. But our red zone doesn't seem to be doing it. But now they're banning the Husker Power Chant. Whatever, man.
Maybe it's too hard to hear for the other team because they need to feel comfortable on the road.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'm kidding. All right, Russ Hochstein, Patriots, on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmitz and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time to talk Super Bowl, and let's talk to our favorite Patriot, former Husker standout, part of the New England championship run, Russ Hochstein, back with us. Russ, great to speak with you again. How you doing?
It's good to speak with you guys, too. I hope you're having a great afternoon.
It's football weather outside in Nebraska. I'll leave it at that. How's it feel up in New England?
It's the same here as it is there. It's cold and a little bit of snow on the ground for those long dog days of winter.
We need sunshine and some golf, preferably.
We would love that.
Russ, what's this week do for you?
I enjoy this week a lot. It's fun to watch the Super Bowl build up as the weekend is close at hand here. Kind of starts with Monday and Tuesday when they're starting to do their media. Kind of tune in and watch a little NFL Network and a little bit of ESPN and kind of follow guys and watch some of the interviews. And there's good memories with that. We had a lot of fun with that when we were in our run. There are definitely pretty amazing days, the amount of people that come out of the woodwork to interview you, the weirdos that come out of the woodwork as well. So it's quite enjoyable and fun to watch.
You were part of three Super Bowls, two championships, back-to-backs, and your media session. Anything that you don't forget? What was your experience like?
I think I've said this one before, but I know I had a reporter come from Germany, was present at media day, and tried to interview me in German. And because my last name's Hochstein and I'm German, she kind of assumed that I could speak German. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm fifth or sixth generation here. I've lost my language skills when it comes to speaking German. on. But it was hysterical, and they did the interview because they could do it in English. One of those is pretty funny because they come and find you. They were searching me out, did the interview, and I'm sure they had a good laugh at me back in Germany.
That's pretty good. So at Hardington, there was no German foreign language for you?
And no, there wasn't, and at least I didn't take it.
Yeah, exactly. I stayed away from it, too. Russ Hochstein with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So, Russ, you beat a couple of Huskers, Mike Minter and Rucker, on that Carolina Panther team. How did you approach the game?
I had a lot of experience as far as starting at that time in my career. You know, I had only started one regular season game. I played in a lot previous to that, but to get to starting run into the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, obviously I was quite nervous. But I knew this, we prepared extremely hard the week prior to the Super Bowl. And I think for both these teams that are there now, I think the majority of their work happens a week out from the Super Bowl. And when you kind of get to the Super Bowl, you get to enjoy the experience a little bit more, and practices are cut back a little bit shorter because they're trying to keep everyone fresh and ready to go. So I knew going into the game that we were well prepared, and there wasn't much we weren't going to, that we hadn't prepared for that we were going to see in the game, whether it be a blitz package, stunts and things like that. But absolutely the thing that stands out to me the most to this day was the intensity. The hitting was that much harder, was that much faster. The game was moving. It truly is the pinnacle of the season, and when it comes to speed and things like that. And you had to make decisions fast, and you had to rely on what you learned and give it all you had. And, you know, more than anything, you just didn't want to let your unit and your group down. And if you did that right, you knew the team was going to be all right.
Did you enjoy it? Were you able to live in the moment and enjoy in the thick of it? Was it stressful? Was it enjoyable? You're a competitor, obviously. How did you deal with it?
I enjoyed being in the middle of it. I really did, because, you know, you sit on the bench after your first series, and okay, I got the nerves out a little bit. You know, you're huffing and puffing. You're sitting there, and you're thinking to yourself, wow, there's a lot of people watching this game. I can't embarrass myself in front of anybody on TV. But I enjoyed that and ate that up a little bit. But absolutely, you never took your foot off the gas, and you never really said, oh, hey, this is over or anything like that until after the game. That's truly when you get to enjoy the party afterwards and the celebration. And I was on a losing one in 07, and I can, you know, comparing the two that we won versus the one we lost. And the first hour of after the game was like the most depressing time ever. We were so close to winning it all then. And I can now sit back and look back at both of those. And it was much better to be on the winning run, as we all know, and obviously on that end of it. But just the pure elation when you're done of, oh, like stress has been lifted. The game's over and it's behind us. There's definitely a lot of that goes on after the game. But during it, I think guys really enjoy the moment. Most guys are there because that's what they love to do. And they enjoy the competitive side of it, and it's just awesome, you know. And you don't feel tired until the end because you know it's going to hit you. It was a lot of fun, and I wish more guys get to do it every year. And there's nothing like it.
You mentioned 07 and almost the perfect season, and it took an incredible drive and catch for Eli in New York, and they were a team that maybe underachieved during the regular season, but were really good in the postseason. And with that team, and you had Randy Moss on the team that year, and that was maybe like one of the first years, at least from a media perspective, New England went out and got kind of a bona fide name. You'd always in New England had drafted and developed, okay? But they went and got a big-time guy, and Randy was incredible that year. That season, was there any moment there where you kind of got caught up in the unbeaten season, or did Belichick keep it mindset-wise to just don't worry about the win-loss number? You guys, we all know you're unbeaten, but just focus on the next game. He seems like he's such a taskmaster at doing that.
Oh, that was driven into us. You know, as players, we got to enjoy about 20 minutes of a victory after a game. When we come in the locker room, hug, shake hands, say congratulations, and those mounted throughout the year, we enjoyed that 20 minutes. And as soon as that was over, Bill was a master at doing it, but refocusing us on to the next task. And that's what was so hard, I think, at the end of it. It was that we were so close, and it didn't happen. And then you sat in that locker room, and we hadn't sat in that locker room all year I think maybe outside of a preseason loss that year, mm-hmm. where we had lost. So it was almost foreign to us at the time, and extremely disappointing. But Bill throughout the year was a master at it. He knew how to keep guys away from the distractions outside of it. You know, kind of always bringing us back to the game at hand, I don't know. Going through that whole thing, you know, 8-9 weeks in the season, we all went, oh, hey, we're going to go on defeated. None of us, you know, in the NFL, the difference between winning and losing is so small. Mm-hmm. A turnover here, a turnover there, you know, things like that. I don't know if that really hit us. And it didn't hit us until you get over that week 10, 11, 12. And now it's at, you know, it's within your grasp. And that's when you really drilled it even worse. You know, we come out and there was no talk of anything but the opponent we were going to play. And he did it really well. And obviously, we're the only team who've ever done that in the regular season. I hope someone else does it. I love to see records broken. And things, unlike some of other people around the league, I kind of enjoy watching records being broken. So I hope someone has an opportunity to do it, but it for the time that we were there, you know, the enjoyment was about 20 minutes a week, and then we were on to our new opponent.
Right, and let's go further if we can. Russ Hochstein with us, Hail Varsity Radio, former great Husker, and of course, two-time Super Bowl champ with New England Patriots, Atlanta. You'll hear this weekend with Belichick. I mean, I get a kick out of his press conferences because he controls it. He says about three words and he's super grumpy. But behind the scenes, I can imagine how he connects with guys. How was he able to connect with you and quite frankly, develop and button push guys that have talent, but they got taken to a new level once they got brought into the Patriot kind of blueprint?
Oh, I think, you know, it's funny, but there's a certain kind of characteristic person or something to each person he brings into the team that really fits with the team. You know, I wasn't a guy who I didn't need to be in his office weekly. In fact, I was only in his office one time in my entire 7 years in New England. And that was the day I got traded. And I look back and think, you know, how he connected with me was do your job. You know, we kind of during the week, he quizzed guys during team meetings and ask us what we knew about the teams you're playing. And I got called on quite often like other guys. And I was never a full-time starter per se a lot of those years. I was a swing guy. I'd be ready to go in and play different positions. And I kind of knew when he called on me and I could nail the answers for him and do those things that I knew he believed in what I was doing and he knew I knew what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of all it took for me. And I was always more worried about letting my teammates down than even my coaching staff. You know, we became such a good brotherhood up front. The guys I played with, the Lights, Copens, Andrews, Ashworth, and guys like that, and Logan, that we, you know, you became so close. I didn't want to let them down or my O-line coach. You know, I was more worried about that because a breakdown in protection meant Brady got hit. Brady got tackled, and God knows we never want turnovers and you never want that guy to get hurt. And so it was maybe a fear factor for me a little bit more, but that's what motivated me the most to play at a consistent and a high level.
So, and you said the magic words, man, fear factor. He finds out, it seems like, of the 53 guys he has on that roster, what they fear, and he knows how to leverage it to get the most out of you. Am I wrong there?
No, I would say you're right. You know, he knows, you know, there's running backs, as you've all seen throughout the years, throughout this dynasty this year, you know, backs that fumble, you're not going to be on the team. I'm going to tell you right now, when you're a running back and you come to this team, there's a little bit of fear that you ain't going to have a job if you turn the ball over. So if you want to use that as the terminology, absolutely there's a little of that. You know, linemen can't miss blocks and defensive tackles, you better make the tackle when it's your time. Execution. And he's always done it at a very well, at a very high level, you know, on the coaching side of it. The coaches below him believe in the system. And I think it's that whole, as cheesy as it sounds, but everyone is as one group. And, you know, once the offseason's over with and all the offseason business stuff of football is over and you get down into training camp, it is 100% all about winning the next week. Mm-hmm. And he has done a very good job over the years of nailing that into people and making sure they understand what their role is and we're all here to win. And he'll do whatever is best for the team.
Russ, thought on Brady. He's on the verge of a fifth championship. You've spent a lot of time with him. You've done dinner with him. You've blocked for him. You just kind of laid out how important he obviously is to winning, but how you felt about him and then that group you played with. Is he a pretty regular guy? I mean, you see the what he's become and how successful he is, but is he a normal dude that folks just don't know about? He's super private, and I understand that.
Absolutely. He was one of those guys you could hang out in the locker room and have a good conversation with. Normal things, you know. We as a society prop people up sometimes more than we need to. And obviously Tom's success is well deserved, and he's married to a supermodel wife and all the stories that surround him. So that puts him on a different stratosphere when it comes to what people view people socially. But in the locker room, the man is a normal guy. He's got normal problems just like everyone else. He probably can't fill up his car with gas without getting bugged in Boston, but we love him, and obviously I think he's the greatest of all time. I think this is just another way of seven Super Bowls. I mean, come on, we can kind of end the argument here. But he's a great guy. He's a great competitor. I'm wishing him well this weekend, and I hope they come home with another one. I really do. I think it'd be something that'd be pretty awesome to cement his legacy as well as Bill's, and to watch them do what they've done has never been done. So it's pretty fun. It's entertaining, and there's a lot of history on the line.
There is. And do they make that history? Atlanta's offense versus the New England defense is the matchup, and Belichick shuts down everybody that's your star. I mean, that's what he does, and you got to go to plan B or C. Can Atlanta do enough offensively? Because I don't think they're going to get after Brady. I think as good as their defense has played in the postseason, getting after the quarterback, I think New England's going to be ready for it. So it comes down to Atlanta's offense. And can Atlanta's offense go to town on New England's D?
Oh, Super Bowls are tough. It's hard to say somebody can come out and out-prepare Bill Belichick and his teams. When it comes to the details of things, but you know what? This is a league of superstars, the league of guys who go out and execute and can make plays. They certainly have a lot of guys who can make plays. In fact, their backfield, can catch the ball and run down the sideline just as well as New England. So, I predict this to be a pretty close game. I really do. I I'm being an offensive guy. It hurts me to say this. Defense is win championships. So if New England's defense comes into play, I think they will control the game at some point. And obviously we always know that turnovers make a huge difference in the postseason. So whatever team can control the ball and not turn it over always has a bigger advantage. And if both teams control the ball really well and don't, you could have a high-scoring game. And who knows, it could be a shootout. But I certainly... I'm silently rooting. I'm not silently. I am rooting for the New England Patriots to do it because of the history involved. But I think it's going to be a good game. And it's hard to say you can slow Matt Ryan down, but you got to remember the experience that New England comes to this game with cannot be underrated. And they've been there. They've done that. Atlanta has not done that for a long time. And personally, I do think there's a huge impact when it comes to experiencing games like this, because you can get caught up in the moment, as we were talking about earlier. So I think, obviously, it sides with New England in this one.
Russ Hochstein, Husker standout and Patriot champion, and we're talking Super Bowl on Hail Varsity. Russ, we'll do this again. Always love catching up with you. Thanks for your gracious time. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you guys. Go Huskers, and enjoy the game this weekend, guys.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It is Super Bowl week, and we always love catching up with the Huskers that won those championships. Grant Wistrom, a College Football Hall of Famer, all-time, all-century Husker, back with us. Grant, how you doing?
I'm good, Smitty. How are you today?
Doing okay. Are you excited about the weekend?
You know... you know, it's kind of a bittersweet sort of thing. You know, it's going to, hopefully it's a good game, but then also it's the last football game till about August. So excited for a good one, but at the same time, I know it's going to be a long drought afterwards.
No, I bet. And what's your take on New England and what Brady and those guys are doing?
Man, I think any time Tom Brady and Bill Belichick get into the playoffs, you can't bet against them. And I hate the Patriots, but I respect the heck out of them. And I know Atlanta's got an incredible offense and defense has been playing a lot better, but at the same time, never get bred against Brady in the playoffs. Unfortunately, I've learned that all too well.
Yeah, I won't go there. You might reach through the phone. But, no, that's the thing is with Atlanta. Stay with Atlanta for a second. Can New England slow them down?
That's just it. You know, and it was like their first playoff game, I forget who against who it was this year, Houston. There was an interesting stat on ESPN about how well, you know, when the Patriots are playing a team with an, you know, they do a great job at taking out their top three weapons.
Right.
So nobody does it better than they do. So I think they can do it, and I think they will do it. I mean, Julio Jones is impressive as heck. Matt Ryan's a great quarterback. But I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm just kind of mind screwed over the whole thing, but I just would never bet against Tom Brady in the playoffs. And you know, they lost to the Giants at one time, but that's almost a fluke to me.
They were able to get pressure that Super Bowl 9 years ago with just four. No one usually can do that.
Yeah. And I don't know if Atlanta can do that either. So, I don't know. It's hard to go against Tom Brady in the playoffs.
Grant Wistrom with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Grant Wistrom on Twitter. Can find and follow him. Now, let's go back to your Super Bowl season with St. Louis and the greatest show on turf and Warner and Falk and Torrey and the defense you guys had coming off the edge and just the great win you had against Tennessee. When you were there, I think that was your second year in the NFL, did you feel like that was going to be a special team, or were you a little unsure of how it would be?
You know, when we were putting up points like that, I knew we were a special team. I thought we could be a special team for a while. And we got back to the Super Bowl 2 years later, and that's when Tom Brady started. 2 years later, but that's when Tom Brady started his run. But I knew we were a good team. I knew we were a special team. And it was just always fun watching that offense work. Now you have Kurt Warner, future Hall of Famer, Isaac Bruce, possible future Hall of Famer, Orlando Pace, Hall of Famer, Marshall Faulk, Hall of Famer, all those guys on one offense. To be able to be a part of that and sit back on the sideline and watch those guys work was truly special.
How did Coach Vermeil prepare you guys before the big game?
You know, it was funny. We were in Atlanta. They had just shut down. A little bit of ice on the roads. The whole city shut down completely. And we didn't even have a Saturday walkthrough.
Really?
We stayed at the hotel. The roads are too slick to drive on. So we just stayed at the hotel, and it was awesome. I mean, I think at that point in the season, if you have to have one more walkthrough to get ready to play a game, you're probably going to get the crap beat out of you anyway. You know, it was a typical week. You know, once you get into the playoffs in the NFL, even, you know, towards week 12, 13, 14, if your team is performing well, coaches don't feel the need to just beat the snot out of you. So the pads usually come off at that point in the season anyway, for most of my experience in the NFL. So at that point in the Super Bowl, you're just out there in helmet and thin little foam shoulder pads for the entire week anyway, and it's all just a full-speed walkthrough at that point.
How crazy was Media Day for you?
Media Day is just a drop in the bucket. Everybody talks about Media Day like it's some huge deal at the Super Bowl, and it is, but every day is Media Day at the Super Bowl. They just make a big deal about it out of one day. Every day that you come back, there's 1,000 people in your hotel lobby. You still have to do press conferences every day. It's just not the spectacle that it always is. So it's just something you got to deal with, and just a distraction of being there. But, you know, once again, team like the Patriots have been doing it long enough, those things aren't going to affect them. You know, they've been there. I would imagine most of their teams already played in a Super Bowl or two. So
yeah,
it's not going to hit them like Atlanta, but at the same time, Atlanta's professionals. those guys have been, you know, groomed from a young age to play a great game on a big stage. So they'll handle it well, too. It is a distraction, but I mean, it's something that both teams will be able to work through.
Grant, I want to talk recruiting for a second. Signing day was yesterday, and Nebraska had a pretty good class. And I look at your career, 49-2 at Nebraska, three national championships, great bunch of teammates. The black shirts were incredible, and you were for sure one of the leaders on those teams. Did you come in humble? Did you come in?
Schmitty, you know me. How do you think I walked in?
You walked in like you owned it, brother.
Yeah, right. I walked in with my head down, kept my mouth shut, and just went to work.
Was that a byproduct of your folks? I mean, just kind of how you were raised, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't, you know, I know that my parents are very proud of me.
Yeah.
They always have been. And I was proud that they were proud of me. But if I was the person standing on a pedestal, bringing the attention to me, the spotlight to me, my dad would have knocked me off that pedestal pretty dang quickly.
Yeah.
It was just how I was raised. And quite honestly, you operate in that manner. You have a much smaller target on your back, mm-hmm. and it makes your life a little bit easier too. So, okay. You know, there's two good things that come out of it. You come across as humble, which I like to think that I am, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it reduces a target on your back and then you're just able to go out there and focus on your work. And then when you make mistakes, they're not amplified either.
Yeah.
You know, cause we're all human and we all mess up. But if I'm out there pounding my chest, telling everybody how great I am, and I go out there and I blow a read and the guy takes off down the field, you know, I don't take the pitch man or the dive man or whoever I have on that play, and he goes out, he rips down, you know, 60 yards down the field. If I've been humble and going out there and I'm working hard every day, people aren't going to make it near as big a deal of that as if I'm out there pounding my chest, yelling, hey, everybody, look at me all the time.
What do you think of today's recruiting temperature? What do you think of that?
You know, it's cool. It's exciting. I mean, I like it. It's fun. It would have been fun maybe to see what it was like. I really appreciate what I think is the neatest thing about recruiting these days is how the players become recruiters themselves, you know, with the social media platform. I think it's awesome. Absolutely awesome. And just how they can stay in touch with each other. You know, I think that's great. And I don't know. I think it builds a lot more chemistry, a lot more unity. And you go into the season knowing each other already mm-hmm. and having a bond there and going out there and playing as a brotherhood. I think it's an advantage. And, you know, I don't know if it's really an advantage because every team has it. But I think guys that do it and use it can help. Obviously, they're going to recruit each other, so that's going to provide an advantage. But also, you've already got a bond there. And, you know, football's all about forming bonds and playing for each other. So,
what do you think of Nebraska, Coach Riley, going into year three? Have you been following the Big Red? I assume you have.
You know, as much as I can.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I really like the recruiting. I think the recruiting has been great. I just like his demeanor. I like how the guys are playing for him. Mm-hmm. I like the energy that's there. It's a positive energy. You know, I always like Coach Bellini too, but his guys seem to play a little bit more on a negative sort of energy. And I always believe that I played for love. I played for the guys next to me. I played for my parents, and I always played out of love. And I think you can sustain that energy much longer than you can when you're playing on a negative energy.
Are you making a trip anytime soon to L.A. to see your Rams?
No, not anytime soon.
Can you believe they've moved again?
Oh, you know what, man? It's all about money. It's always been about money. Stan Kroenke has a bunch of it, and he wants to make more of it. So I don't care that they moved. I care in the manner with which they moved, kind of dragging their feet the entire time, making everybody think they might stay. And they knew a long time ago that they were leaving St. Louis. They didn't want to stay in St. Louis, but yet they drug it out as long as possible. They performed stadium studies mm-hmm. and cost the taxpayers of Missouri a lot of money when then they were there leaving. So I won't be heading to LA anytime soon. I don't really care how it goes for them. And I don't know, kind of a Chiefs fan now. I never thought that I'd say it, but I am.
Wow.
I know.
How did that happen? Just obviously you live down there, but they're fun to watch. I'll give you
I
that.
Kind of Chiefs fan. No, My wife wants to cheer for a football team. She wants to cheer for a good football team with a great fan base. And it's kind of hard to beat the Chiefs if you talk about tailgating and how much they love their team.
No, you're right on. It's a good time. Grant Wistrom, Husker great, Super Bowl champ with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Grant, you're awesome, man. Love catching up with you. Super Bowl week, we'll do this again maybe during spring ball. Kind of get your thoughts. Thanks for a few minutes today, man.
Sounds good, Smitty. Thank you.
Take care, bud. Bye. There he is, Grant Wistrom with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Grant's an awesome dude. Love talking Super Bowl week with him. Have to maybe reach out a little more often and get his thoughts because he has a lot of opinion and good insight and was very complimentary. Here's the thing about Grant is he was really important to that St. Louis defense. Obviously, you know how important he was to the Nebraska defense and what they were, that defensive line, him and Peter and just the group they had with McBride, and they were incredible. And if you're older than TJ, to remember watching them, you were five, right? Yeah, he's like, yeah, I was five when they beat Peyton Manning. They were great. And what he said about that brotherhood, that camaraderie is impressive and important, but more so with just the Super Bowl approach. And just to kind of keep your head down. I was surprised to hear his thought, too, on recruiting. And he thinks it's pretty cool from the peer recruiting aspect. So if you just caught part of that, if you headed down to the Nebraska-Michigan State game, tips off at about 22 minutes, and you just caught the tail end of Grant Wistrom joining this year's Super Bowl week, Huskers in the Super Bowl, you can check out HailVarsity.com for that one. Russ Hochstein got us started off hour number two. And Russ won two rings with Brady and Belichick. Some great insight there from Russ as he's up in Boston. Great insight from saving money and making her smile with Sauter Heyman. Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, $100 a month. That is it for a one-carat diamond. Valentine's Day is 12 days away. Don't shortchange your sweetheart during Valentine's Day. One-carat diamonds, $100 a month. See stores for details. Limited time offer, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln. Rod West in Grand Island with Sauter Heyman, SauterHeyman.com.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Top offensive line prospect out of the great state of Texas, Lake Travis High School, Brendan Hymus with this 6'5", 250. Brendan, congratulations on your day. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm good. I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing all right. Just a busy one, and Nebraska loves offensive line play. You know the state is about running the football and being physical. You match that. Take me back through this process when it came to recruiting in Nebraska and the first time you kind of were intrigued by Nebraska. Do you remember that moment?
I think the first time I was intrigued by Nebraska was when I got offered. You know, I didn't really know anything about them until Coach Kavanaugh called me and said that they offered me a scholarship. So after that moment, you know, I kind of did my research and I realized what kind of tradition they had over there. And it's crazy how much tradition they have. And, you know, I'm just excited to play for that.
Well, Nebraska does have a lot of offensive line tradition. Coach Kavanaugh is well respected, and there's a good group on that offensive line. How are you able to connect with him?
I think we connect pretty good. You know, I think our relationship is really good already. You know, for the short times that I've got to see him over in Lincoln, or that he's come to visit me in a home visit, but you know, I just can't wait to get up there and you know, build that relationship up even more, and you know, just excited to play for him.
Can you describe the home visit? What was it like in the living room with Coach Kavanaugh?
It was comfortable. You know, it wasn't. It didn't feel like there was a coach. I actually, you know, talked to me. It just felt like it was, you know, another man. You know, just asking me questions and stuff. You know, and that's what I really like about him. You know, he's not very intimidating or a very intimidating guy to be around. You know, he just wants to, he said off the field, you know, he said he's going to be like a father figure, but on the field, you know, he's obviously going to coach you hard, and you know, that's someone who, you know, I'm looking forward to play for.
He is pretty intense on the field for sure, and with Nebraska on the offensive line, what do you foresee your role being? I mean, where do you think you fit? Where did he tell you you maybe project? 6'5", 250, I know you're extremely athletic. That's big time. But where do you fit in Big Ten play?
Right now, you know, he wants me to play left tackle. And I've actually gained some weight since the season. I'm 270 right now. And he doesn't want me to be, you know, too much bigger than that, you know, maybe 15, 20 more pounds from there. And he said that I could fight for a starting position maybe my second year there. You know, he said he was going to redshirt me, so.
Okay. High school football in Texas is well-documented, pretty legendary. You're the 6A state champs this year. Give us a little peek into your program. I've laid out the success, but what makes it so good?
I think just the way we prepare, you know, our coaches do an excellent job of preparing us each week for, you know, our opponent, and, you know, going into off season, those off seasons are pretty rough, I'm not going to lie, and they're hard on us, but it's for a good reason, and, you know, obviously it's shown these past couple of years and years past, you know, them winning 5 state titles in a row, and you know, us winning the highest division, class division state championship, and but you know, it's been fun. You know, I've played with all those guys since we were in elementary school, and finally getting to this moment in our life is a pretty special moment.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the early grades to start playing football. Did you always play offensive line, or did you move to offensive line in high school? Kind of tell me a little bit about how you kind of developed to where you're at now. What did you do early on when playing football?
Yeah, actually, early on, you know, we could play like 2 different positions. So I played center, and I played linebacker for our Pop Warner team. So I got to play linebacker a little bit, and that was about all the linebacker days were pretty early. So, and then eventually in middle school, I still played center, and then got moved to defensive end. On defense, and then in high school, it was just strictly my freshman year, I played center, and then sophomore year, I played right tackle, and then junior and senior year, I played left tackle. So
late to the party, Baylor, TCU, Texas, very good programs, new coach and Coach Herman at Texas, interested in you. You stuck with Nebraska. Why stay with Nebraska? Why move away from home?
Just everything about Nebraska. You know, there's not one thing that really sticks out to me the most. You know, it's just everything about it is great. And you know, like you said before, the selling point that they had were you know, it, obviously in-state schools. And closer to family and stuff like that, and not getting as homesick as you would in Nebraska. But you know, Nebraska really feels like home to me more than any of those schools do. So you know, I'm happy with my decision.
Brendan Hymus with us, Hail Varsity Radio, a part of this 2017 class on the offensive line. Brendan, to wrap up here, man, what do you think you do best on the line? What do you take the most pride in, and what's an area that you want to get better at as you get to Nebraska?
You know, I've been told by not only Coach Kavanaugh, but multiple coaches that my, you know, being aggressive is one of my strong points, you know, whether it's run blocking or pass blocking. They just like how nasty and aggressive I am when it comes to stuff like that. But obviously nobody's perfect, and neither am I. So, you know, there's been some areas where I've been lacking, especially, you know, how high I am when I pass set or when I run block, you know. Knee flexibility and hip flexibility is obviously something I'm going to work on this off season and as years go by at Nebraska.
Are you a vocal guy, Are you an angry player?
Honestly, not really. Vocal when it comes to, you know, communication between my offensive line and my buddies. But as far as trash talking, you know, sometimes when it gets heated, but most of the time, not really. I'm just trying to catch my breath.
Well, good enough. Congratulations, part of 2017, Brendan Hymus, offensive line, and part of 2017 out of Lake Travis, Texas. Tradition-rich program, state champs, and he's headed to Lincoln. Brendan, we'll catch up again. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Good stuff. Signing day 2017 yesterday. We had so much going on that we were unable to get to Brendan during yesterday's show, so slap me on that, but we heard him today. Brendan Hymus going to be gunning for that tackle spot in the near future. Caller 6 now. HailVarsity.com premium subscription yours. Caller 6, 6-month premium online subscription for you. HailVarsity.com. Inside info, breaking news, all that good stuff. Message board community. Great folks. 466-3776. Caller 6 now.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Busy one today. Big thanks to Super Bowl champ, multiple-time national champion, and Hall of Famer Grant Wistrom. Big thanks to Russ Hochstein with the New England Patriots for those championships. And Jacob Padilla, we welcome in the place you need to go and get relaxation. Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2, Lincoln in Omaha, spasonline.com. Deb, that temperature is true February right now, low 20s, and there's nothing like getting into a hot tub, is there, when it's 20 degrees outside?
That is for sure. It is so relaxing, feels so good. And I just had some people in that, oh, we want a hot tub. And so we looked at everything we have, and really we found the exact perfect spa for them in their price range. We've got, you know, we're going to make it nice and simple for them. We have our own electrician. We have financing. We've got the perfect spa for their location. We'll deliver it, set it up. We're just going to make it so easy. They left here thinking, wow, why didn't we do that a long time ago?
It makes a ton of sense. And, of course, you have 2017 options, but also some great ideas on 2016, don't you, when it comes to selection?
Yeah, we do. We still have just a few of those left. And then we're going to be doing the home shows, not this weekend, but the following weekend in both Lincoln and Omaha. So we've got home show pricing on top of that.
I'm going to come find you at the home show. How's that sound?
That sounds like a plan.
I'll jump in there. Now, when it comes to the swim spa, that's something I'm thinking about. Tell me why that's a great idea.
Okay, the swim spa is something that you can enjoy year-round. You can swim, you can exercise, and it's not like a pool that you only get to use a few months of the year. You use this year-round. And then once you get done with your workout, you can sit back and enjoy the therapy seats and relax. You can heat the thing up to 104 if you want to and have just a huge party. So it's got it all. And we've got all sizes of those, too.
I'm all for the party. I like that. Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2. She'll be out of the home show here coming up. And spasonline.com. Go see Deb today, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. And also there's a location in Omaha. Deb, you have a great week. Thanks for a few minutes today.
All righty. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right. There is Deb the Spa Lady. I've been getting updates from Mama. As her and Junior are down at PBA getting ready for Michigan State, Nebraska. So, to recap, Junior stalked, harassed, and got a picture with Miles Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
To recap, he has now moved on to Tom Izzo.
Moving right along.
He's going to get kicked out. We get sick old Jack Pierce on him. Jack is so good at making Nebraska fans feel welcome. He needs to get rid of one Spartan fan in there, though. Say you, Blondie, and your kid, out.
Might have to make it happen.
Problem is, Carson will just say, is that Santa? He'll taunt Jack. We love Jack Pierce. We love you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spending time today. Big thanks to Jacob Padilla of Hail Varsity. Big thanks to Russ Hochstein, Pride of Hardington, New England Patriot, and thanks to Grant Wistrom, all-time Husker great. Tomorrow, Ralph Brown. Tomorrow, Klausburn. Tomorrow, Brandon Vogel. Tomorrow, you. Find us at 4 with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Take care.